And I want to go right to God's word today, Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, one verse that I believe God wants to use to speak to us. These are Jesus' words recorded by Matthew in his gospel. Jesus said this, "If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it." So I'd love for us to wrestle with the question today, what are you clinging to? What are you clinging to? I remember when our kids were younger, it was very important to me that we taught them how to swim, that they learned how to swim. And so I actually took it upon myself to teach them how to swim, not because I thought I was a good teacher, but I was probably too cheap to pay somebody to do it for them. But when our kids, maybe when they were like age 5, age 6, they were very familiar with being in water and they were very comfortable with that as long as their feet could touch the ground. But as soon as we took them into deeper water, it terrified them. And so when I tried to teach them to swim, I said, okay, we're gonna go into the deep water now. And they would cling so hard to me, you know, their fingernails would go into my neck because their feet couldn't touch. And why were they clinging to me? It wasn't because I was like Jesus, they were just clinging to Jesus. No, they were not, that was not the case. They were clinging to me because if they let go, they wouldn't be able to touch. I represented their safety and security. And so they say, "Daddy, don't let go, don't let go." And I'm like, "I'm not even holding you. It's actually you're the one that shouldn't let go because you're holding on to me." And I'm not saying this is a perfect illustration, but why did they cling to me so hard that it was safety and security? What represented safety and security? Well, it's because water actually can be very dangerous. If you don't know how to swim, you would know if you're near deep water, that can be terrifying. It can create fear. But as soon as you learn to swim, deep water does not cause any fear. It doesn't matter how deep it is. And so when I think about these words that Jesus is saying, he's saying, if you cling to what gives you safety and security, you're actually gonna lose your life. But if you release it, if you don't cling, if you give up your life for the sake of Christ, that's where you find life. It's very counterintuitive for us. And I don't know about you, but for me, the older I get, the easier it is, the more tempting it is to hold on to those things that bring me safety and security. And I believe Jesus is calling us to a deeper level of release. And it's part of this journey that we're gonna go on the next few weeks around this word crossroads. You know, a crossroad, how we're gonna define it is, it represents a decision that determines a life-altering decision. And so Jesus, he would use these invitations to follow him as a crossroad, right? Come follow me. People would either follow him or they would walk away. But it's not just that initial crossroad. Are you gonna follow Jesus or not? After you decide to follow Jesus, there are still lots of different crossroads. What does it mean to follow him in this situation? What does it mean to, you know, release, not cling to our lives, but to give up our lives for his sake? That's where we find our life. We have all of these opportunities, these crossroads, these decision points that actually alter the direction of your life. And so let's look at what is some context that Jesus is trying to get to us. So I wanna back up Matthew chapter 10, go back to verse 24. Again, these are still Jesus' words. He says, "Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their master. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called by even worse names." And then he says these words, "But don't be afraid." Can we say those three words together? Don't be afraid. Now, have you ever been called a name by someone? What did Jesus, he was called the prince of demons. Did anyone ever call you the prince of demons? No, no one's ever called me that. I've been called different names though. Let me tell you, when somebody calls me a name, you know, not by my first name, but maybe something they don't really appreciate about me, in that moment, I can be very good at having some kind of defense. You can't call me that. I don't deserve that. And what Jesus is saying, don't be afraid of those who would threaten you, who would call you names or would threaten you because you're a follower of Jesus. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed and all that is secret will be made known to all. So someone's words do not define you. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. We're going to elevate God's word over our own words. And then he says it again in verse 28. Let's say it together. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. Have you ever had somebody try to kill you? I haven't. But I wonder in that moment, if I had somebody who was threatening my life, I would guess that I would probably be a little bit afraid. Would you? Yeah. Jesus says, someone trying to kill you, don't be afraid, for they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And then it seems like he kind of changes directions. He says, what is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. And he says those words one more time. So don't be afraid, for you are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Now, I have to say, when I read that, it's like, Jesus, you just got done telling us that a sparrow is about worth a copper coin, but you're more valuable than that. That feels like a really low bar, doesn't it? But I think what Jesus is trying to tell us here, tell his followers, is that the very hairs on your head are numbered. He knows them by name. He has a number for them. He can count them. You are more valuable than just a sparrow that falls to the ground. So what we can take comfort in is if his eye is on the sparrow, we know that he will watch over you and me. That's why we can walk in this life and not be afraid. You're more valuable to God than, so if God has his eye on a sparrow, he will watch over you. So it's just like when my kids are in the deep water and I'm trying to teach them how to swim, I don't just say, okay, go swim and then turn my back and walk away. No, I'm with them. Because you can't learn how to swim just by reading about it or watching a YouTube video about it or watching somebody else do it. The only way you're going to learn to swim is when you get in the pool and do it. And it's the very same word with the words of Jesus. We put them into practice in our lives or else we will remain unchanged. Let's keep reading. Verse 32, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. And we might read this and think, wait, I thought Jesus was the Prince of Peace. I thought it was peace on earth, goodwill to men. But what he's saying is here, when you choose to follow Jesus, that belief in him, that faith in him may cause conflict with those who do not believe. He doesn't want us to be unprepared for that. See, Jesus did not come to just say, hey, I'm just gonna keep the peace. As long as the peace is kept, you can believe what you want to believe. You can believe what you wanna believe. We're just gonna keep the peace. No, that's not what he came. There's one way, one truth, one path. And it starts with placing your faith in Jesus. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. And I just think about How much I love my own parents. Gave so much. I was fortunate to grow up in a very stable home. And so there's deep love for my parents. There's deep love for my children. I would lay down my life for them. And Jesus is saying, you know that love, that kind of human love, you love for the people who are the most important in your life? Loving Jesus should be even greater than that. And he says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. These are hard words from Jesus, aren't they? But we should not be afraid of hard words. We should not be afraid of hard texts that Jesus gives us, because it's the hard words or hard texts that humble us and change us. And then we get to those words that Jesus said, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. And so I want to bring us back to that question, and I want to give you some time just to reflect on this here, to just as we're together. Are you clinging to something other than Jesus? I'm not talking about just responsibilities that we have in life, that we all have responsibilities. We all have opportunities that we're walking in to be responsible for, to be faithful in. I'm talking about where we find our safety and security. Are we clinging to something other than Jesus? And my question to you today for reflection is, what is one thing you need to release? Give up your life. For my sake, Jesus said, that's where you find it. What do you need to release? I don't know about you, but for me, especially as the older I get, the more tempting it is to try and control, right? To hold on to things, hold on to safety and security, what's stable. I really appreciate stability in life. And so I want to cling to those things. But what happens is I know myself well enough that I'm tempted to control those things in order to have safety and security. And it can very easily influence how we follow Jesus and how we choose him to be our truly our Lord and Savior. And if when I'm in controlling of things and wanting to control things, what happens is those things then can become part of who I am, my identity. It can define me. And so when you release it, it's saying, no, these things don't define me. For example, sickness, a cancer diagnosis, that does not define you. If you've been given a bad medical report, that doesn't define you. A failed business or bankruptcy, that's not who you are. Your success in life doesn't define you. Your family does not define you. It's not who you are. Your education or lack of education, that doesn't define you. That's not who you are. Yet if we hold on to those things, they actually start to define us, and it prevents us from allowing Jesus and his words to shape us and change us. His words are, no, you are a son or a daughter. If you acknowledge him, Jesus said, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. And so what do you need to release? I want to give you a few minutes just to write it down, reflect on it. Is there one thing? Maybe there's multiple things. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me, what I need to release. Jesus said, when you release it, that's where you find life. So when you think about releasing control, it's a really nice thought in a controlled environment like this. But then we leave this room, leave this experience, and we go into our day-to-day, our responsibilities, our routine, go back into our homes, go back into our workplaces, go out to face whatever we're facing. And so it's important to me that we not just have a nice experience here, but we can learn how to put this into practice in our lives. So what does it mean to release this continued give up of control to Jesus for his sake? because that's where we find life. And so I want to give you three, what I would say, very practical ways to do this. And I would love for you to write this down, because this will be much more important on Monday than it is right now. How do you give up control? How do you stay in this life of following Jesus and not clinging to things that bring us security? Number one is to make a commitment to release. We make a commitment to follow Jesus, which is a very important commitment to make. But the next step, I would say, is making a commitment to continue to just release, hold what you have with an open hand. That will get tested. No question it will get tested. And so we go back, no, I made a commitment. I'm gonna release. I'm gonna release. I'm gonna release to Jesus. So make a commitment to release. Number two, acknowledge what God's word says. Acknowledge what his word said. Jesus said, acknowledge. If you acknowledge before men, if you acknowledge God before in your life, you will be acknowledged before the Father in heaven. And acknowledging God's word just simply says, I recognize God, the power in God's word. I recognize that God will speak a word and it can accomplish more than all of our human words. And so I want to make God's word my words. I want to elevate God's word just louder than my own words. I want to amplify the good news of who Jesus is louder than any news of this world. I want to acknowledge what God's word says. And then number three, we want to practice. Practicing clinging to Jesus, it builds confidence. Think about when you practice anything. If you start a new job, you start learning an instrument, you get started playing a sport. When you're not good at something, it creates insecurity. But through practice, when you put things into practice, it builds confidence in that skill. Just think about that when it comes to following Jesus. Put it into practice in your life. That will give you confidence so that when you go into the deep waters, there's no fear. The deep waters of somebody may coming against you with their words. The deep waters of somebody threatening to kill you. Maybe not threatening to kill you physically, but threatening to kill your dreams. Threatening to come against your family. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Maybe it's the deep waters of just having words saying, you know, I'm not good enough. Does anyone notice me? Am I captivating to anyone? Does God see me? The people in my life see you? I feel unseen. In those moments, those deep waters, Jesus would say, don't be afraid. Because he does see you. If his eye is on a sparrow that falls to the ground, you can be assured that his eye is watching over you. I really believe God is pleased with this people when we just simply bring an offering of worship. Really, he's not looking for perfection from you, from me. But he's really pleased when we just simply bring an offering. It's so beautiful. I'm pleased with you. Do you know that God is pleased with you? I think about that enough. I usually think there's more for me to do. There's more I need to do for God or to please him. I'm not saying that's a bad desire, but there's nothing we can do that would change how much he loves you and me. Really. Never made a decision to follow Jesus, you should know how much God loves you. And I just picture him inviting you to come follow him. And so I don't want to close our time today without giving an opportunity. If you're here and you're like, man, something's burning in your heart, it's God drawing you. You might think, I just need more time. I need to figure it out. I need to get my life in order. And God would say to you today, no, just come first. make that decision to surrender your life to Christ. And then he sets you on a new path. You're just gonna see things in a new way, in a new light. Because it was God's word shining light on your path. So if you wanna make that decision today to follow Jesus, I wanna lead you in a prayer. I'm just gonna invite you to repeat this prayer after me as a decision of surrender. And so would you just bow your heads and repeat this after me? And then can we all say it just so nobody's praying alone? Just simply say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead for me. So today I repent of my sins. I turn from my selfish ways. And I choose Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. My old life is gone, and a new life begins today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you know you needed to get that settled, the ushers have a gift for you. In that box, there's a Bible and some other material. There's a card in there that we'd love for you to fill out because we want to walk with you on this decision that you made. We don't want you to live out this faith on your own or by yourself. It's one of the beautiful, just what I love about the local church is that we can walk with people. And so if you made that decision today, would you just lift your hand up in the air? We're not here to embarrass you, but we have a gift that we want you to have. And keep it up in the air until an usher sees you. And then after the service, I want to encourage you to stop by one of our connections rooms on either side of the auditorium. We have a team there that would love to talk with you and pray with you any way that we can help you. All right, well, are you thankful for God's word today? And I really pray that it encourages you. If you need prayer today, maybe you walked in with something heavy on your mind, heavy on your heart. We have a prayer team that'll be down front here. Please feel free, come, have someone pray with you. Don't leave here facing something that you think is impossible, because I want to remind you, God can do the impossible. You join your faith together and pray with somebody. He can move in ways that maybe you haven't seen yet. So if you need prayer, I want you to encourage you to come. If you're newer to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections. We'd love to get you connected. I just want to also mention that we're so grateful for the generosity of this church. If you'd like to give financially in your tithes and offerings, you can see how to do that on the screen. Your generosity, financial giving, allows this church to continue to be a blessing in our community and all around the world. So just so grateful for that. All right, let me just close by saying, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. So go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has in your life. And tonight there is a worship night at 6 p.m. in this room. So I'm gonna encourage you all to come, have an extended time of worship. We'll just continue this song of worship. But have a great rest of your day. Let's stay connected throughout this week.